plate a potential nugget.
Let's talk about the Clement and Mirror, since you mentioned it. I found that interesting as well. You talk about how leaders can take advantage of their spouses, who sometimes can sort of give them the harsh truth. So if I could dig a little bit more there, what's the insight there, Gopal?
You know, we say the CEO's job is very lonely and all that stuff. It's as lonely as you choose to make it. If you want to be a hermit of arrogance, then you could be so. But actually, there are lots of resources around you. And you need those resources because your brain is damaged. As I've said in my book, in Crash, power damages your brain. And to repair the damage, it's like if I hurt my shoulder playing tennis, then physiotherapy helps to restore it, if not surgery. In the same way, if I've got power, there's nothing wrong with it. If I exercise power, there's nothing wrong with it. But I must understand that it will produce some distortion in my brain and my thinking process, and I need a physiotherapy for it. This is called brainotherapy. A spouse is one such source. It's not the only source. So I've used Clementine because she happens to be the wife of Winston Churchill. It could be your wife. It could be a very trusted colleague. It could be a person whom you superseded, but who's an old friend for 30 years. It could be a board member. It could be anybody else. You have to be receptive to it. The Clementine story itself, I don't know if you want me to narrate
it. It's a good time to maybe briefly talk about it.
Well, you know, I was very struck when I go to London. When I used to go to London, I would often visit museums and so on. I went to the Imperial War Museum in the locker room down in near St. James Park, Regent's Park. And I found a letter there, framed and put up on the wall. And when I peered at it closely, it was handwritten by his wife, Winston Churchill's wife, Clementine, to him. And it read something like, "My dear darling Winnie, you're a wonderful man. The nation needs you now." It's dated 1941 or 42. But the other day I heard people saying that you are now becoming irascible and impossible, and they are not able to talk to you. My darling Winnie, you know I love you so much. I wouldn't want anything better for you or for this nation than success in the war. Why don't you mend your ways a bit? It was a bit torn up and then put together again. And the story behind it I learned later was that she wrote this letter. He came so tired that evening that she said, "No, I can't hurt him further." She tore it up. Next morning she said, "If I don't tell him, who the hell is going to tell him?" And she put the letter together. And that's what's framed and kept there. And then, of course, I've got the actual words and all, which I've mentioned and reproduced in the book. Now, this is what happens. I don't know how many times my wife has told me what a prig I was in a particular interaction. She says, "I don't understand what subject you were discussing. I'm not interested in, because that's not my field. But the way you spoke to this guy was wrong." And when I reflect on it, very often, even in a marriage, the spouse tells the other person, I keep saying wife, but it could be the other way around. So I'd rather use the word spouse. "It's not what you told me that I object to, but how you told me." Show me a married person who hasn't been through that discussion. So how you do things matters a lot. And this is where the Clementine mirror came in. It is not that Winston Churchill was wrong. It is not that he took the wrong decision. It is not that... But the way he came to his right decision was wrong.
Fair.
Now, Clementine mirror is what optical mirror does to your face. It's, it shows you how many pimples you got on your face, especially if it's concave. A Clementine mirror is nothing but a concave psychological mirror. Who provides the mirror doesn't matter.
Earlier in the podcast, I was speaking with Tasha Urich, an organizational psychologist who's been studying the phenomenon of self-awareness for several years now. She calls self-awareness the meta skill of the 21st century, and as part of her research, has profiled a few people whom she calls self-awareness unicorns. People that started from a not-so-great place when it came to their self-awareness, but ended up doing a lot of work on themselves over the years to really understand themselves.
And that's part of what we saw with our unicorns is there's a quote by F. Scott Fitzgerald that's something like, the definition of true intelligence is to be able to hold two opposing viewpoints in our minds and still retain the ability to function. Our unicorns were able to get feedback and say, you know, this is really different than the way I see myself, and that's okay. That doesn't mean I'm wrong and they're right or vice versa. It just means that there are different ways of seeing me, and those different ways are valid. And that's where it comes to the prism metaphor. So most people think about self-awareness as something, you know, the simple metaphor would be, I look in the mirror, I see my reflection, and that is who I am. But it's a lot more complicated. And everyone probably remembers from science class when they were young that when you shine a white light through a prism on one end, on the other end, it comes out as a beautiful rainbow. And the way I like to think about self-awareness is, you know, it's every single reflection or every single light that goes through, you get a richer, fuller picture of who you are. So every data point that you get, whether it's your own, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your coworkers, your employees, your boss, each of those are valid and helpful.
Building on what RG says, whether you see it as a concave psychological mirror or as a prism, there is a lot of data to be gathered from the loving critics around you, people that care about you and can be candid with you. In the coaching work I do, I find it really helpful to speak to the spouse and a couple of close friends of the leader who know them from childhood. At senior levels, whether I'm helping solving how to grow or where to go, it's really helpful to understand what energizes a person, when is he or she in flow, what demotivates the person, and so on. I tell people if they need to get to know me, a 30-minute chat with my wife is likely to be more insightful than 10 reference conversations on me from my past colleagues. Not tapping into the Clementine mirror is a huge missed opportunity. Thank you for listening. If you find this of value, do take a moment to visit the podcast archives at playtopotential.com. You might specifically be interested in my conversation with Michael Watkins, the author of the book First 90 Days on how leaders can settle in effectively in a new organization. You might also like the theme Settling into a New Context Relevant, where we learn from leaders across different walks of life on how they navigated the first few months in a new environment, including someone like Gandhiji when he moved back to India from South Africa.